We started a series last week that we are calling Roots Bear Fruit. Roots Bear Fruit. And when I say fruit, I want you to know that we're talking about the outward occurrences or the outward manifestations that people see in our lives that either leave a good or a bad taste with them. Amen? So I'm talking about how we handle ourselves and how we respond, not just react to certain situations or circumstances, but how we respond to situations and circumstances and how that impacts the people and the atmospheres around us. And so our desire as the people of God, as the children of God, should be to bear good fruit. Can I get an amen? But we have to know this. We have to know that any good fruit is only in our lives. It's only there because of the root. Amen? Right? But the reciprocal that is true as well. Any bad fruit that's in our lives is there because of a root. So the root bears the fruit. And last week we really honed in and talked about Jesus being the vine. He said, I am the vine. Right, I'm the true vine. So we talked about Jesus being the vine, being the root that we abide in if we want to produce and bear good fruit. And we probably will go deeper into that as we go further into this series. But today I want to focus on what I'm calling the R in roots. The R in roots. And so really, that's just a clever way of me saying I want to talk about four things that start with the letter R that we can have roots in that produce different fruits in our life, okay? So today I'm going to talk about some very sensitive things from my personal life. So there may be moments you have to bear with me, amen? But I felt very strongly impressioned upon the Lord to do this, and I'm just going to talk about it. So we're going to jump into it, shall we? Amen? Y'all gonna be with me? Okay, there we go. I do better if I get some response out of people. So if you don't respond, I'll probably just keep preaching and keep preaching. So watch y'all start responding now. Like, we got to get out of here for lunch. Okay, the first R, I want to talk about the root or the roots of rejection. Roots of rejection. Every single person in this room has dealt with or deals with rejection at some point in their life, right? To certain depths and to certain degrees for all of us, okay? But the truth is we all deal with rejection in some form or fashion in our life. As a matter of fact, being born into sin as we are, right? We're born into sin. It causes us to feel rejected from the God that created us because sin separates us from God. But this is something you've got to know this morning, is that you are not rejected from God, but you are accepted and loved by God, all right? The devil and sin is a liar. God loves and accepts you. Jesus came and preached the good news of the gospel that we are loved and accepted by God. And he came and he died to show us that, right? And to bring us in unity and oneness with him. So that's why when we are born again, we can know that we're loved and accepted. We were born into sin, but when we're born again, we know that we're loved and accepted by God. And then we allow the love and the acceptance of God to take and uproot all the other things of rejection that may have come on from sin or from people, and we allow God to heal us with that love and acceptance. Amen? So let me just give you a few verses that confirm what I'm telling you. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 is one of the first sermons Jesus ever gave in his hometown. And this is what he said as he quoted Isaiah. He was standing in the synagogue and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim," what? The acceptable year of the Lord. You are accepted by God, right? You are not rejected. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he says, God says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time." When are you accepted? right now, right now. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When's the day of salvation? Today, right? It's now. So God is saying to us right here, you are loved and you are accepted by me. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise and the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So the one thing I really want you to, the truth I want you to grab a hold of first right here this morning is you are accepted by God. You are accepted by God. But one of the biggest problems that we have as people is we give more weight to the opinions of people than we do the opinion of God about us. Amen? Amen? And let me tell you something. People will reject you in a heartbeat. They'll reject you for the simplest little things. And when you feel rejection, that can begin to cause roots of rejection. And those roots of rejection, they can produce some really bad fruit in our life. Things like depression, anxiety, fear, worry, low self-esteem, isolation, and the list could really go on. So growing up, I was just about as skinny as you could get. As skinny as you could get. I'm talking about a toothpick with hair, run around in the shower to get wet, kind of skinny. I only can say that because that's what people said to me. Boy, you're so skinny, you got to run around and shower to get wet. Right? And believe it or not, back then, I had a head full of hair. I had a head full of hair. And when I was young, from grade school all the way through middle school up until high school, I had very bright orange hair. I started out, I was like a bleach blonde when I was a baby, right? And it slowly started turning orange. And so my hair was like a bright orange, and then it got a little darker red until as I grew and as I got older from the time I graduated and become a young adult, people were like, why did you dye your hair? Because it got so dark, they thought I dyed my hair, but it just naturally got darker. I'm like, I didn't dye my hair. It just got darker. So I had this bright orange hair as a child. I was very fair-skinned, still am, white as a maiden shirt. And I had freckles, very bright freckles, still got a lot of freckles. They're not as pronounced on my face anymore. So I was skinny as a rail as well, and then I was covered in these freckles. And growing up, I got a lot of not so nice comments about the way I looked, the features that I had, okay, that I had no control over, right? God created me in his image. Right, and so growing up, there was a lot of unfriendly things that were said. I got called freckle face, redheaded stepchild a lot, redheaded apple tree because of my freckles. How original, right? Casper the friendly ghost because I was so fair skinned. Skeleton boy, toothpick with hair. Matchstick, because I was skinny with the redhead. Opie, howdy doody, you name it. The list could go on, okay? And those were comments from people from young to old. It wasn't just mean children. There were adults that would say things like that. Now, hear me out. The adults would say things like that, and they weren't trying to be mean, but still, it caused certain feelings within my heart and life. And so when you hear those sort of things, especially as a young boy, as a young child, you know what it feels like? It feels like rejection. That's what it feels like. It feels like you're rejecting me for who I am. I can't help who I am. This is it's just who I am. It's what God gave me. And you are rejecting me for who I am. And when people start to feel rejected, they become desperate to feel accepted. And so when there are roots of rejection, people will do just about anything to feel accepted by people, okay? They'll do just about anything to get attention. And it really drives people to be someone they really are not, doing things they thought they would never do. And so that's the first R. The second R I want to talk about is the roots of rebellion. And I mention it now because many times, intertwined with the roots of rejection, you're going to find the roots of rebellion. Y'all quiet on me this morning. I told you I'd preach long if you don't get with me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm probably stepping on your toes, so that's all right. So my dad was saved when I was 5 years old. You've heard me say this a lot. And so I grew up in church. We were in church a lot, all the time, from the time I was five moving forward. We were at regular services. East Calhoun was having revival and doing services throughout the week. So we were in revival services. We went to camp meetings. Dad would go and preach and evangelize and run revivals. Him and Wayne and Kathy Jones would go singing. Listen, y'all think Wayne out here is praising? I used to see him on stage with a mic, and there was this one little segment. From the north, the south, the east, and west. He'd do it just like that, too. All nations will gather. But they'd go around singing. So I was in church all the time. I knew right from wrong. The reason I'm telling you this is I want to let you know I knew right from wrong. According to God's word, because I was taught it. I was taught God's word and what was right and what was wrong, okay? I was raised in a good, godly home. But because of the feelings of rejection in my life, even knowing what I know, there were areas of my life where I turned to rebellion to find acceptance from people. Anybody else been there? Amen? I'm glad I'm not the only one. Praise God that He changes a life. So I turned to doing things that I knew were wrong to try to get acceptance and attention from people, even though I knew they were wrong. Do you know what? When you know something's wrong and you do it anyway, you know what that's called? Rebellion. That's rebellion. You're rebelling against what you know is right. Okay. So let me say this. On the surface, on the outside, just anyone looking in, I did not look like a rebellious child. I looked like a really good child. I looked like a good child. I did not look like a rebellious child, but I was. I was. I remember the first time I ever cussed, right? I was in third grade. Now, I may have said something before that, but this is when I really remember I cussed because it was so real to me. I knew it was wrong. Because I knew we didn't talk like that in our home. I was taught that. We had wholesome speech. But I remember there was a little boy that I met at school who had jet black hair, but he had lots of freckles like me. But this kid had a potty mouth. But he and I found something in common with one another. We had both been ridiculed or called names for our looks. And so we became friends, right? And this little boy would cuss worse than a sailor. And as I got older and I reflected a lot on my life, and I remember and I think, man, he had to talk like that, and he learned to talk like that because that's what he heard at home all the time. And it really broke my heart. But so because I didn't want to feel rejection from this new friend as well, I began to cuss too. But only while I was at school around him. Amen? Because if I knew if I did that at home, I knew what was coming. This thing right here was coming off, except for it had a big old buckle on it. It said Troy on it, which was my grandfather. But anyways, I just remember Dad had this belt hanging in his bedroom. And if you got whipped with that belt, you were in trouble. A big leather belt with a buckle on it. So I knew we didn't talk like that, but so I would... So to prevent me from being rejected from him as well, I would cuss with him while I was at school around him. I knew it was wrong, yet I did it anyway. I rebelled to avoid rejection. And I got to where, just as a young elementary school kid, I was actually two different people at home and at school, just as a small child, which is hard to believe, but it's the truth. As a small child, I was somebody else at school than I was at home. I taught and acted completely different at school around these so-called friends than I did around my family and my home life. But I was still respectful to teachers. I was still a well-behaved child. I just intertwined with what these other kids were doing because I didn't want to be rejected by them, okay? But I got really good at hiding it. Right? from my parents, from my siblings. But I do remember one summer break, I was playing a video game at the house. Something happened in the video game. I don't know if I died in the game or something didn't work out the way. And when it did, beep, I let out a cuss word, and my siblings were like, "Oh!" And then I was like, "Oh!" But it's crazy because I remember to this day that I determined in my heart and my mind I was never going to cuss at home. I was doing this at school, but I wasn't going to do that at home because I knew what was waiting. I had determined very securely in my own self, I'll never do this at home. And yet, as bad as I did not want to do that, the root bore the fruit. Without me even noticing it, just before I knew it, it came out. The root bore the fruit. So that's elementary school. You fast forward to middle school. Now I'm pretty much cussing and talking dirty around certain kids at school. I kind of conformed to who I was around to avoid rejection, okay? So I'm just living in a little bit of rebellion, right? But those roots were growing just a little bit deeper. So in middle school, I made some more friends. So there was this one friend who did not live far from me. He actually lived right down on the same street, lived right down the road from me. And he was the first person that ever introduced me to pornography. And I knew it was wrong when he began to show it to me. I was in middle school, sixth grade, okay? So I'm keeping it real here this morning, okay? Is that all right? All right, we're gonna be real. I knew it was wrong. He introduced that to me. My parents thought I was just going down to play, which we were, but then I was exposed to things that I should have never been exposed to. He began to show that to me. I knew it was wrong, so I was afraid of rejection again. So I went deeper into rebellion. Those roots went deeper into my heart and life. So now, not only are there roots of rejection, but there are roots of rebellion, and there are new fruits that are being produced in my life, bad fruits, lust, sexual immorality, lying. I got filthy communication going on, right? All these things. Let me remind you, I'm in middle school. I have pretty strict, God-fearing, church-going parents, and yet this was still happening, okay? And my mother was about as sheltering and cautious as they come. She was. But still, this was happening, and I was hiding it. Fast forward to high school, okay? My freshman and sophomore year, I'm 14 and 15 years old. By this time, I'd already tried a cigar. I'd smoked, okay? Which was dumb. When you're in rebellion, you do pretty stupid things, right? I had asthma growing up, and I tell you, there were several times, Dad can testify, that I had asthma attacks that I took ambulance rides to the emergency room because there was one moment I turned blue. I remember them telling me a lot about it. So I'm in rebellion. I did stupid things. I knew I had asthma, and yet because I was afraid of rejection, one night, I'm staying at a birthday spend the night party. This kid steals Black and Milds from his dad. We go outside and I take a puff and I cough my head off, right? I didn't really care for smoking because of what it did to me physically, so I didn't, you know, thank the Lord that did not become an addiction in my life, right? But by this time also, I was exposed to and had my first sip of alcohol at a high school football game in the parking lot, right? Guy that I was friends with brought it to the high school game, got into his dad's stuff, and I took a sip, and my eyes went bloodshot with just a sip. It was very strong. So I'd already had my first sip of alcohol. And not to mention, because of things I was exposed to, now I'm bound by thoughts of lust all the time. 14, 15 years old, okay? And I was bound by these thoughts of lust, and I believed, I look back, and I think I believed experiencing sex would be the greatest form of acceptance from someone. But I was still a child. I didn't have a clue. And so this whole time I'm going to church, my family's still going to church, I would go to church, I'm 14, 15, I knew right from wrong. I was feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my heart and my life, and I would go to the altar and I would I'd pray a little bit, and then I'd go back and do what I was doing anyway. I never really fully surrendered to the Lord in that time. Because I would just go, it wasn't real repentance where I would turn from things. It was just like, I'm feeling bad for myself, so to make myself feel better, I'll do this. Because I know I'm going to go out and do it again. And so I was going through religious routines during this whole time. And so something I'm about to tell you guys, I've never spoke of publicly. Amanda, I've talked to, the only people I've ever talked to about it is Amanda. And my parents, my father is here, my mom's with the Lord, but they're the only ones that really know about this. But and I'm not going to go into detail, but when I was 15 years old, I had an encounter with a woman who was twice my age. I was only 15. And in all actuality, I'll just put it this way, I was taken advantage of because I was a boy. I was young. I didn't know what I was doing, but at the same time, I knew what I was doing. I was looking for acceptance because I still had roots of rejection and rebellion that started all the way back in elementary school. And I was searching for acceptance. And as I was searching for acceptance, I was going further and further away from whom I really was and who God had called me to be. To the point, I ended up in a very damaging situation for me personally because that caused a lot of internal, emotional, and mental distress for me. I was 15. And after that moment, after that encounter, I went into a really dark place internally. I literally tried to block the occurrence of that from my mind. And from my memory, and for a while, I felt like I was successful at it because there was such a guilt for me personally and a shame that the enemy brought upon me. There was a feeling of dirtiness, a feeling of disgust that I had about myself after that moment, to the point that I felt like I hated myself because I felt like I was a horrible person. Me personally, I felt like I was a horrible person because I was still going to church every week and I was going through my religious routines, but on the inside, I was very damaged, I was very hurt, and I was still very lost, okay? And that's going to lead me into the third R I want to talk about, the roots of religion. I'm going to wrap all this up here and it'll make sense, okay? Roots of religion. I really want to talk about this because religion can directly get in the way of our relationship with God. Amen? Because sometimes people think that they've been saved because they go to church or because they join a church or because they're from a certain denomination or because they give tithes or they give offerings to the Lord. They think because they've been baptized they're saved or because mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, they all go to church and have been doing it for years. It's good enough for the whole family. We're all saved. But let me tell you something. None of those things make you saved. None of those things make you saved. I had done all those things by this age, right? But according to the Bible, according to God's word, we've been given a free will. God gives us a choice. Amen? And we have to make a personal choice to follow Jesus and to submit our will to his will, right? That's when salvation comes. If you have your Bible, go to Matthew 7. I just want to read some scripture to you. And since we're in this series called Roots Bear Fruit, I'm going to start on verse 15, but I really want to focus on verses 21, 22, and 23. Matthew 7, I'll start with verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." You will know them by their fruits. "Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That's a pretty heavy word, right? That's Jesus talking. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. How do you know people? By their fruits. Where do fruits come from? The root. Okay. Are you rooted in Jesus? If so, there should be fruits in your life that show that. Here we go. Now catch this, starting with verse 21. This is some heavy word, but this is not my word. This is Jesus himself talking. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, to Jesus, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Whew. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me, they'll say to Jesus in that day, the day of judgment, the day they stand before the Lord, whether our time comes or before or he comes again. They will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? And then I, Jesus, will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, you who continue to do what you want to do. Okay? I want us to take in the seriousness of the words of Jesus as he preached the Sermon on the Mount, because that's where this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, right? Because some people may say, well, these are people who obviously knew the Lord. They did works for him. They did great things for him. Then they backslid and they went their own way. But that's not what Jesus said right here. He actually said, I never knew you. I never even knew you. And he makes this statement. He says, many will say to me in that day. Many. And obviously, these are people who are actively engaged in the work of God, according to his words right here, right? They're casting out demons. They're prophesying in Jesus' name. They're doing all these things, wonders in his name. I want you to think about this for a moment. If there are many who are actively engaged in the church that have really not got to know him, how many more are there that just come to church and they cross the T's and they dot the I's of religion, but they don't really have a relationship with Jesus? Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. So what does that mean? What does that mean? I want to try to explain that, because someone may read that on the surface, on the outside, and automatically think, well, what do I got to do to get to heaven? They think it's about works. But we know this according to Scripture, right? That we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and not by works, lest any man should boast. So there's nothing we do to earn salvation. But this is what Jesus, so what's he talking about right here? He's talking about surrendering our will to his will. Our will to his will. That's why Jesus said, when he's teaching us the Lord's Prayer, he said, when you pray, I want you to pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You see Jesus pray. He's praying for his Father's will all the time, because he's submitting his will to the Father's will. Okay? Listen, there has to come a point of submission of our will to his, where we actually make him the Lord of our life. I know this is heavy. I know it's quiet, but this is the word he gave me. It's heavy on my heart, right? There are many who call him Lord, but they never really made him the Lord of their life. It's kind of like this. We had this golf tournament this past weekend. And I could tell anyone and everyone around me and involved that was going to be at that tournament, I'm taking golf lessons from Tiger Woods, right? I'm taking golf lessons to prepare for this tournament. Tiger Woods is my golf instructor. And I could just tell everybody that. But let me tell you something. Unless I'm actually taking lessons from Tiger Woods and learning from him, he's not actually my golf instructor. I don't care how many times I say it. Same thing is with Jesus as the Lord of our life. There's people that say Jesus is my Lord. They've never made him Lord. They don't even have a relationship with him. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We learn from him as we make him the Lord of our life. We learn from someone by having relationship with them. So, all this was going on in my life, right? I'm 16 years old, year after that occurrence, right? I got all this stuff going on inside of me, roots of rejection, roots of rebellion, roots of religion. And to be honest, I'm completely confused. I'm hurting. I don't know what I'm doing. But I remember there was a Sunday night in August of 2001. There was a Sunday night service. And after that service, everybody kind of went out and talked and fellowship. We all went out to eat afterwards. You know, those were some of the best days. You'd always go out to eat after church on Sunday night. You'd have the best meals, right? Cracker Barrel, IHOP, Zaxby's. Awesome, just awesome. But I remember everybody had went out. The service was over. But they always, kind of like here, we leave music playing at the end of service. We don't officially dismiss. We just tell people, hey, when you're ready to leave, leave. You can leave when you want to. Most everybody had left. There were people. I'd been outside in the foyer talking, fellowshipping with people, just hanging out. But I was hurting on the inside. I was confused. And there was something drawing me back into that room, that sanctuary. And so the music was playing. I walked in there, and there was probably just a couple people scattered throughout the sanctuary. But I walked in, and I sat with we had chairs in there, and I sat on the front row of the chairs. And I just sat there, and I was thinking about all these things in my life. And I looked up, just like this, music playing. And I remember I said, "God, I don't even know if you're real. I don't know if you're real. I've been taught about you my whole life. I've been in church. I've seen some pretty crazy and cool things. But I don't even know if you're real. But I'm hurting on the inside. And I need your help. And if you are, I literally said, I'll give you everything I am. I'll give you my life. I just want to feel you." And I tell people all the time, I don't know how to describe it other than I knew I wasn't crossing the T's and dotting the I's, but I really came to a place where I was surrendering my will to his. Like, I was ready to just lay it all down, right? And I don't know how to describe it other than I said, I just want to feel you. And I tell people, I felt him. I felt something come over me, a peace that overtook my life at that moment, and I began to weep. And I felt him, and I said, I'll give you everything I am. I'll give you my heart. I'll give you my mind. I'll give you my life. I completely surrendered everything I was to him. And after that moment, I can tell you, my life changed. My life changed. Now, I know I don't have some crazy, you know, crazy testimony. There's some things that happened to me. There's probably things for people that's happened in here that goes way deeper than that, right? But this is what I want you to know, is the moment I surrendered, the moment I submitted my will to his, my life changed. I did feel heavy laden. But in that moment, I felt peace and rest, right? what I was finding was redemption. Redemption, and that's the fourth R I want to mention. The roots of redemption. Psalm chapter 130, verse 7 says, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. With him is abundant redemption. When I really surrendered, man, you can come. When I really surrendered those roots, or when I really surrendered my life to the Lord, those roots in my life and my heart that were not supposed to be there began to change. Because of his redeeming power, the roots of rejection were being changed to roots of acceptance. Because of his redeeming power, the roots of rebellion were being changed to roots of love, which actually produces the fruit of obedience. The root of love actually produces obedience. And obedience is better than sacrifice, right? You can serve people you do not love. The Lord spoke this to me many years ago, 2015. I remember it was 2015. He said, Andrew, you can serve those you don't love, but you can't not serve those you do love. Right? So in other words, I could be a waiter in a restaurant and I could serve people all day long, right? And not really love those people. But when I love someone, I serve them. I love my wife. I do many things to serve her. Why? Because I love her. So you can serve and not love, but you cannot love and not serve. And so the roots of love produce the fruit of obedience. Then the roots of religion that were in my life were replaced with the roots of relationship. Relationship. And I can tell you something. Those roots are growing in me still to this day. Relationship. Love, acceptance. I'm growing in the Lord every day. I'm being healed still from different things. Are there times that the bad roots that I had in my life try to root themselves again? Absolutely. Absolutely. There are times where those bad roots try to come again. And you know what I do in those moments? I go to the vine dresser. And I say, hey, There's some weeds and different roots that are trying to come into my life. Would you prune it? Would you prune it? Let me tell you something. He's faithful. He's faithful to do so. And if he can redeem my roots, if he can redeem the roots of many people I know in this room, how God has changed their lives as they surrendered to him, he can do it for you too. He can redeem your roots. And as we surrender him and we are rooted in him, the true vine, we'll be able to produce, he'll be able to produce in us the fruit of his spirit. I want to close with this scripture. Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2 says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Man, that's powerful. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. If you would, just please honor and respect that this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I struggled deeply with this sermon this week because, you know, the Bible says we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and our word or testimony. And that was, there's parts of this I'd never shared before, and I talked to Amanda about it. And it was so heavy on my heart. And I didn't want to share it, but I got a text this morning from someone who says, hey, I feel like the Lord really has prepared you to share a word today. It's going to touch people. And, you know, it was just really encouraging saying, hey, Don't worry, preach it. And the Lord knew I was struggling because I was struggling with just sensitive subject about myself. Honestly, it was selfish reasons that I was struggling. But I believe there are people here this morning. The Lord had me speak it for a reason, because there are people here this morning and you have deep roots of rejection in your life. Maybe because things people have said or done to you. People that were maybe even supposed to be the closest people to you, you felt rejection from. There are people who maybe feel like you're experiencing rejection right now in just certain areas of your life. And I want you to know that you are not rejected, but you are accepted by God. Now is the time of acceptance. Today is the day of salvation. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying he can remove that rejection from you if you know you're fully accepted by him. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I know there's some roots of rejection in me that I need the Lord to help me deal with and for those roots to be redeemed. If that's you, throw your hand up. Throw it right back down. See hands across the room. You know, many times the roots of rejection, it doesn't have to be all the time, but as I said, they're intertwined with the roots of rebellion. And I believe there are people in here that there are areas of rebellion in your life, things you know are wrong that you continue to do. And the Lord is wanting to redeem that in you today. He doesn't give us a rule book. The Bible's not a rule book. It's a love story. It's a love book. It's a story of redemption. And he's wanting to replace any negative thoughts that you have towards his word as legalism or law. And he wants you to see it as an honor to serve him. That only comes through love. It only comes through love. And so God is wanting to redeem roots of rebellion and let you be deeply rooted in his love. And if there are areas in your life, you're here this morning, you say, I know there are areas in my life that I'm rebelling in. And the Lord is speaking to me this morning. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Put it right back down. See it. See him. Last but not least, there are people, I believe this morning, have deep religious roots. I am thankful for my upbringing. I'm thankful that I was raised in a godly home. But sometimes we get caught up in the routine of religion instead of having a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm a firm believer. The Word says we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but I'm a firm believer there's going to be people in heaven that never really came to church. They didn't go with the religious routines, but they had a personal relationship with him. Church is meant to increase our personal relationship with the Lord as a body. But if it's just church, if it's just religion, it's dead. It's dead. But Christ is life. Maybe you hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I've got deep-rooted religion in my life, and I'm feeling a call to strengthen my personal relationship with Jesus. Not just the church, but with Jesus. This morning, the Lord is speaking to me, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. If that's you, throw your hand up, put it right back down. See them. See them all over. Y'all stand with me if you don't mind. I want you to know this. For every one of those questions, there were hands across this room. Okay. I tell you that to tell you, you're not alone. And I know it because I'm right there with you. There are still things there. I believe me sharing some of the things I shared this morning was still part of the Lord healing things in me. And if you'll allow him, he'll heal you too. But we have to come to a point of surrender. We have to come to a point of surrender. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. This is an altar call. We never We never close a service without an altar call. This is an altar call that says, you have an opportunity to surrender your will to His. And as they sing, if the Lord spoke to you in the sermon, if you raised your hand, maybe you should have but didn't, I want you to come to this altar as they sing.